Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to From the Hip. This is Dawn Burks here today, and I have a repeat visitor who I hope keeps repeating and repeating and repeating.
Hola. Nice to be back, everyone. It's Cassandra Jaramillo here again with Dawn.
Yes, and y'all don't even know this is From the Hip, the party edition.
Yeah.
Because we just found out that we won some very special awards from the Society for Features Journalists. Mm-hmm. Cassandra right here won a first place for a collection of columns. I mean, this is big.
You know, I had my professor from college text me and tell me that this was big. And I was heading into a doctor's appointment. I was like, what? Like, I was just in shock and lost. And
yeah.
And it wasn't until being next to you and coming into the office that I started to say, wow, like, I gotta, you know, boost myself and give, you know, recognize myself.
Right. And then we're talking about it, and then someone points out that, oh, wait a minute, Dawn, you just won
exactly.
an award too. And
yes.
It's like, what? Like, shook both of us, right?
Oh, beyond shook.
Beyond shook. It's like, I don't know how they expect us to get any more work done today, but strangely enough, I feel rejuvenated and validate it,
mm-hmm.
even though I probably shouldn't base that on an award, but it's nice to be recognized.
It is, absolutely. I mean, you know, I'm relatively new to the Dallas Morning News,
yeah.
and I'm finding my place in, you know, as a writer, as a reporter. So it feels really good. Today feels very good.
It makes you feel like you're on the right path.
Exactly.
When you get that.
Yes.
Especially when maybe you don't know if you are.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that, we'll be celebrating intermittently throughout. I mean, I might have to stand up and do a jig, but we are here to talk to you today about some substantive things. You know, we play a lot, we laugh a lot, we joke a lot, but one of the things that we have found is that we can be serious about certain topics.
Oh.
And one of them, we make jokes about all these ancestry tests mm-hmm. that are out there now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I recently participated in a world record attempt for how many people spitting at the same time to do an ancestry test. You found a woman who found a family.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. So this is the topic of DNA testing and all of that is something that you and I have just been talking about. And,
yeah.
and you did get your results back.
I did.
We'll talk more about that later. But I have not done this kit, and I have had a lot of interest to do it myself. You know, being Mexican, we have, you know, we're mestizo, and so mm-hmm. we can be combinations of a whole lot of stuff. Indigenous communities that are no longer here, you know, French colonists, Spanish colonists,
yes.
People from Africa who have come to different parts of Latin America. I mean, Latinos, we are a very broad spectrum of where our roots come from and how they've been mixed. So I've always had that curiosity. But this woman's story was particularly interesting because she was abandoned at birth, is what she has told us growing up. You know, her adopted family always told her that she was adopted from an early age. And she loves her family very, very much. But with these DNA kits, it gave her the opportunity to kind of trace back her family history and her roots, because she always wondered, you know, what ethnicity were my biological parents? She had made assumptions, but she never really knew because she didn't have those records. And so what I didn't know either is that apparently when you do these kits, it does connect you to relatives.
Yes.
So she did the kit.
You can opt out. I did find out. You can
opt out. Oh, you can?
And you have to be lucky enough that someone who shares your DNA also opts in.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, all those circumstances where that had to be aligned, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, she does the kit. This was probably in February, I think, is when she said she did it. And she got her results back of her, you know, her ancestry breakdown, and it was about a few weeks later that she gets the relative email notification, and it's like, can you imagine? In your, they need to change that protocol and say you at least deserve a call, like a courtesy phone call from.
They told me I have a second cousin.
Well, you know, and I'm sure that's shocking, something that you maybe didn't know about. But imagine being, growing up in an adopted family, being the only child in that family, and always wondering, and suddenly you get a relative notification, and it's a woman who is your half-sister.
Wow.
You get on the phone. She told me that they got on the phone like a few hours after they got this notification, and her half-sister told her, you know, actually, you have three, you know, including me, three other siblings. So she finds out she has four siblings after this 23. talking about the story, just like my eyebrows nearly fall off my face. You know what I mean?
I know. I just don't know. I don't even know how I would react. But I mean, considering she's been looking for family, she has always yearned for a biological family. Right. What was her reaction?
She said that finding a relative was the farthest thing from her mind. I mean, she was so in shock, but she had this great quote about how, you know, she woke up that day being an only child and went to bed knowing she had four siblings. Mm. And it's interesting because I talked to one of the siblings who said he didn't believe it at first. He was like, this has to be an error. You know, really in shock. But then there was a photo of her that they saw. Mm-hmm. And if you see them photographed all together, which if you see the story, you know, we have those pictures, you're like, wow, it's the same genes.
The features,
the smile, the cheeks, the apple of their cheeks are exactly the same. And so she was going to go out there for her birthday, which was in September, but she was like, nah, I can't wait that long. She got a flight 2 weeks later and met them, and it was a beautiful reunion. And, you know, it pieced together some family secrets, obviously. Okay. You know,
that's what you're afraid of with
exactly.
So it can be great, but it can also be damaging.
Yes, we were not able to get the mother on the phone, so mm-hmm. I don't, you know, that's their stuff. The story that we wrote really focused about her finding her siblings, who we got to speak to.
Right, you have to write the story, you know.
Exactly. So I thought it was a great story, and it low-key, it makes me worry to do mine because I don't know what my dad was up to when he was coming to the United States summer.
I'm going to tell you, it's so funny that I told my mother I was getting ready to do it, and she said, girl, I can tell you anything you need to know like that. And I was like, well, while we're on that subject, do you have anything that you need to tell
me? Exactly.
And she was just like, no, whatever, do it. And then when my results came back, she told me, she said, you might want to think about getting your money back because it has 17% European.
What?
Yeah. Almost 20% European. It was like 17.9%.
Did it break down from what?
Yeah, it's mostly my flags are Great Britain and Ireland.
Ireland?
With some French in there. And the French absolutely makes sense because the part of Africa where I'm from, there was French colonization there.
Right.
Colonizer. there was some French colonization there. So that makes a lot of sense.
Right.
And it also confirmed for me tales I had heard, but, you know, a lot of people claim Native American ancestry, American Indian ancestry, and they don't really have it.
Right.
So you just think of them as tales out of school or whatever. You know, everybody's got a Cherokee princess that's in their aunt or whatever. And, you know, but it confirmed to me that I do have some of that too. So I'm a mutt.
Yeah.
Like you said, you know.
I know, I'm probably a mutt.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm
if
just
you're
everywhere.
From Mexico, you're definitely going to be a mutt.
And the thing, like, when my mother had me laughing and she's like, yeah, you might want to get your money back like that. And I'm like, but you always said that grandpa was like really pale. Like she always said, oh, he's the color of this table here. You know, he was, you know, the light cream or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, that means that Massa was stepping all in the house. I'm just saying. And people, you know, people like to act like slavery was 400 years ago. Well, you know, maybe that's when it started, but I'm only one generation removed from it because my grandfather was so much older than my grandmother that he had actually been a slave.
Oh my goodness.
So I remember actually turning that in as an assignment. I'm writing about that, and my teacher told me I was lying, and my mother had to tell him, no, she's not.
No, actually.
You know, they were going to give me an F or whatever. It's like, no, because of our limited understanding of how this thing worked.
Exactly.
Just because on paper, in 1865, it says it ended.
Well, we know here in Texas.
Thank you. I was going to say Juneteenth proves that was a lie, you know. So it didn't end just somebody flip a switch. It didn't end.
Absolutely.
So it was really interesting to see that. I did 23andMe, which they do have a relative thing. Mm-hmm. And the closest relative that it popped up for me was a second cousin who I'm thinking about contacting simply because second cousin is pretty close.
Yeah.
You know?
That would be like your mom's direct cousin?
Right. It would be like, it's on my father's side. So it would be like my father's cousin's child. So that's close enough, especially the way we grew up. We always call each other sister cousins, you know, or brother cousins because we grew up that way. So I'm thinking, I don't know a lot of my father's family, so I'm thinking it might be interesting to do it. But this woman, I don't know how I would have reacted if it had popped up that many half siblings for me.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
What kind of anger do you have? Like in my situation where I wasn't adopted, I wasn't abandoned. In my situation, I don't know what kind of anger I would have toward my parents, especially if they knew. Right? I don't know.
Well, in this family, definitely it was pure joy, you know, finding out that you have this person that unfortunately you've missed a few decades with, but she was telling me that as soon as they got to be together, it was like they lived their whole life together. You know, it's just like they clicked, which honestly is kind of scary because it's like you feel that pressure to click. But what if you don't?
Right. What if you don't?
What if you meet them and they're like lame?
Or, not only lame, what if they're horrible people?
Or horrible people. Right. Right.
What if they're like, you know, Seinfeld?
Here's the other thing. When I published the story on my Twitter, I had people tweeting about how they also found half siblings. So 23andMe and Ancestry have started.
I thought Facebook was a mofo.
Right? No. 23andMe and Ancestry said, hold my beer.
Right. That's exactly what they did. It's like, and it does, it makes you, when you hear stories like this, it makes you really reflective upon if you really want to do it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I did it because I want a flag. Yes, I have a flag. I'm an American.
Mm-hmm.
I am. But, you know, I was talking with someone else about this. It's like, I'm in a group of people, or even you and I, for instance, you know where you're from.
Right.
You know where your parents are from. You know, you have a country of origin.
Mm-hmm.
I have a continent of origin.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not even able to pinpoint a country. And through no fault of my parents and through no fault of my grandparents and through no fault of my great grandparents, you know, they didn't have the choice to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I now have the choice to go back.
Exactly.
And try to find.
Yeah.
And they were able to give me a region of Africa. And of course, it's Western Africa because that's where the slave trade was from.
Right.
But they gave me Nigeria or Senegal.
Uh-huh.
Or that was one other country. Anyway, it's really interesting. And so I kind of want to do one of the other services is having a sale, a Father's Day sale right now.
Oh.
And they pinpoint geographically better. And I'm thinking about doing, of course.
No.
Yeah, I'm thinking about doing that one because they can pinpoint villages and stuff. So I'm like, I really think that I want to do that.
I really want to do it.
It's like $69 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before that, it's 23andMe is like $199.
Right.
And that's just for the flat one. That's not the one that does the health detection.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's also interesting, but to have someone in our backyard who is willing to talk about, y'all, we have some really good stories. And guess what? They're by award-winning journalists.
That's right. Yes, they are.
Party over here.
Yes.
Well, how is she feeling now? Mm-hmm. Like, she's back. Is she back home?
Yes, she is back home. And she said, you know, it wasn't because I asked. I feel like I'm a crier. I cry about the dumbest things, really. And so I was like, did you cry when you saw them? Because I would have. And she said, no. But when I was in the airport leaving, that's when I started to, my eyes started to burn. The tears started coming because she only got to spend 48 hours with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then to say goodbye when you don't want to say goodbye.
Yeah.
After losing so much time with them. And so she's back, but they already have like family gatherings planned for the rest of the year. Yes. I mean, it's beautiful. And I told her, like, let me know when your family's in Dallas. Yeah. We can do a follow-up story or something, because I think that would be so cool.
And it's about sustaining it too. Like, who knows what would have happened had she not got on a flight, like, almost instantaneously.
Exactly, yeah.
If she had waited until September, the fire could have cooled. They could have decided among themselves, we don't need another sibling.
Right.
You know, it's easy. I mean, I know families who did not have siblings who live in the same town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy to just pretend as if she didn't exist because she didn't for so long.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a heartwarming tale. I was watching the Today Show this morning, and Al Roker had done Ancestry, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he was over in Senegal learning about the Senegalese culture and everything. And they asked him how he felt because he visited the slave port. And he was like, the first emotion he had was rage.
Of course.
Right. And for him to actually say it, it was a revelatory moment. And I was like, wow, I really, really want to pinpoint where I'm from.
Exactly.
So that I can go, and I don't necessarily want to have the rage, but I want the feelings that are going to come with maybe looking in someone else's face and seeing my own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone who I never would have known otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we've got a lot to talk about.
Yes, we do.
We're going to get through it. So, like, we talked about our awards. So, Cassandra won. What did you win?
I won first place in general commentary. We submitted a portfolio of essays that I've written, largely influenced by my Latino culture and my upbringing. And, I mean, again, given that was the topic, I was like, wow, these judges really thought that this was, worthy, I guess.
Like, they kind of get it. And I think that's kind of what surprised me,
mm-hmm.
was that, like, you wrote about yourself.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right.
We wrote about what we knew. Like, I won third place in writing about women, diversity and digital features, mm-hmm. Division One. We competed in the largest division, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a portfolio, I guess. I can, don't give me the line, I can't even tell you what we entered. I had no idea, but it was me, and I shared it with Christine Ricciardi, Tini Ricciardi, who is on staff for GotLive.com. And it was Women of Color in Television. And we suppose maybe it was her work on The Bachelorette, the first Black Bachelorette. And we think maybe it was my work on, I wrote a column about why is Criminal the only flavor for women of color on TV.
Right. I loved that.
And we don't know what the other one is, but it's kind of like we want to we're going to find out where they are because we want to, but we won this third place. And it was like, man, alive. What yes. a day.
And this is a national award, which is something that I didn't fully understand that right. if you're a features journalist, lifestyles journalist, entertainment, like we are, mm-hmm. this is, you know, it's a significant competition yeah. To be a part of. I mean, you know, the LA Times, Washington yes. Post, New York Times.
The Root.
Right.
I mean, I'm in the same category mm-hmm. with Panama Jackson. I'm like shook. That's all we can say. Shook. But we're excited by that.
And you had a few columns that maybe in the next year we'll be competing.
I'm going to pass them on to somebody, like put a pin in them. So you guys know Roseanne Barr lost her show, right? Mm-hmm. Because of the tweet that she'll not be named. I'm not repeating that. Look it up on your own time. But I wrote this column immediately because I felt it.
Right.
And it came out, and I've been getting kudos all over everywhere. And that's been really nice and validating, too. But what I got more than anything was mail. And so we're going to tackle some of the mail that I got. I responded to some people. I did. But they brought up some interesting things. But the thing I noticed more than anything is that no one can keep politics out of it.
Yes. Yeah, I know. It's a very, very divisive time.
Yeah, there's, it says, like this person writes, the Trumps display a lack of moral fiber. Unfortunately, Ivanka is a participating member of a family that lacks any sense of honor. I think Samantha chose just the right words to describe her.
Oh, so this is the Samantha Bee thing.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm putting them both together because they both involve the usage of words and involve how words can hurt
mm-hmm.
and how people, normally right-thinking people, can't figure out that just because she did it doesn't mean you can too. That's a child's argument, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's like my daughter telling me, well, I want to jump off the cliff because Baronda did it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's not an argument that a grown-up gets to make. Just because Roseanne Barr did it, so Samantha Bee should be allowed to do it.
Right.
You know, so that was one. And then I've had, let's see, this woman wanted me to explain how is what Roseanne said worse than what Samantha Bee said.
Oh my gosh, so now it's like.
Mm-hmm. Wait. Both insults were said about a White House staffer. Both women were denigrated, disparaged by another woman. Why is insulting a black woman worse than insulting a Jewish white woman?
Oh.
She is simplifying the heck out of this, right?
Yes, it's that false equivalency. Honestly, to me, I am not supporting what Samantha Bee said.
Right.
But for you to say that a black woman and a white woman have had the same experiences, you are woofully ignorant.
Yeah.
You're
not only misinformed, you're uninformed.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to actually put your fingers on the keyboards to type that means that you're willfully staying that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I explained it very clearly why I said both things are wrong. Why can't both things be wrong? Why do we have to make them equal?
Exactly.
They're both just wrong.
They are.
You know?
And you know what? I mean, I really do worry about how, whether it's Mexican Americans or Muslims, how we mm-hmm. are referring to people in such animalistic ways.
Yes.
That's why the Roseanne thing to me, it's like, okay, yeah, she did not drop a slur, but it doesn't matter.
Right.
Like, it's the same thing to me.
It's ultimately, as I explained in the column, it's ultimately the Roseanne tweet was debasement at its worst, because you're reducing her to an animal.
Right.
To something without, to something in your eyes that doesn't have feeling and can't think. And that's something that's been done for so long to Black people. I mean, Black people, well, people of color, period, have fought to try to erase the stereotypes.
Right. I mean, some dignity is all we want.
What, one of the zoos used to have a Black man in a cage as a curiosity. Mm-hmm. Okay? And the dreads, I mean, three-fifths of a man for so many years, mm-hmm. you know, sold for so many years, not even treated as subhuman. And then you come along and call one of us, one of our best ones, one of the best that people of color have to offer. You come along and debase her. You call her an ape. So if you can do that to her, mm-hmm. then what hope do I have?
Exactly. How do you see, you know,
exactly
someone like me?
Right. What hope do I have? And I think that's what people who try to insist that they're the same type of insult, I think that's what they miss. Mm-hmm. Or, like I said earlier, willfully miss. Because mm-hmm. they gotta know. Mm-hmm. I just don't understand how you don't see it unless you just don't want to see it.
Or honestly, I mean, truthfully, maybe they don't, you know, it's like the, I don't see color type of.
Oh.
It's because you probably don't hang out with any people of color.
And you know what? It's also because you wake up in the morning and when you look in the mirror, you don't see color.
And yeah, exactly.
I mean, I lead with this. I cannot hide this when I walk into a room.
No, yeah.
And we're both brown enough that we can't hide it mm-hmm. when we walk into a room. Mm-hmm. I cannot pass. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Girl, I can get me a blonde wig tomorrow. I'm just going to have a blonde wig. You know, I'm not going to change it from any other way. I mean, there's, I got some other stuff that I really liked. I agree with you about Roseanne. Okay, good. Thank you.
That was just the email? That was it?
Right. That was
it.
Yeah. Here we go. It is interesting that you media folks are quick to criticize and support firing of those not of your ilk. I've yet to read any columnists criticize The View or the comedian at the annual press club dinner in Washington. The Dallas Morning News really should consider a name change to the Dallas Democrat. We can't keep our politics out of it.
What?
Number one, The View is set up as, here's what I responded. I feel as if Roseanne's tweet was the last straw. I speculated to colleagues that there was perhaps a codicil in her contract because of her previous bad behavior. Her second chances have had second chances. I have close family members who have been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. Every case is different, but even given that she might have been in a spiral, her history calls everything into question. One mustn't forget that she doubled down on her comment. If the first tweet that morning didn't do it, the second one did.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually took the time. Normally, I don't answer if you call me a name.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who writes in, if you call me a name, that's discussions off the table. I don't have to talk to you. I've already talked to you in that column. But if you write to me and you just ask me a salient question and I feel like I need to respond, then right. I do. And I really, really was disturbed by those not of your ilk here and asking me to criticize The View. Why would I criticize them? That show is built on friction.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do. If they're not antagonizing you, they're not doing their job correctly.
Right. What business did Roseanne have?
Yeah.
Calling this woman an ape.
At 2 a.m. I mean, what? No one even asked her. It wasn't like someone asked her a question.
Honestly, it would have been interesting to say, why do you think that's okay?
Yeah, it would have
truly,
been.
Truly, let's see what this woman has
right,
to say.
Right,
that.
Why do you think that's okay? And then, you know, and also they're saying, I didn't see anyone criticize the comedian at the White House Press Club dinner. The thing is like, what are you reading?
What is that even about? The Michelle Wolf thing?
Yes. But if you didn't see criticism of that, were you alive at the time?
Right.
Or were you in your car?
Because there was plenty of criticism. Yes. And honestly, it was like, that thing is it's a roast fest. And bringing up the eyeshadow thing again, like nothing to
nothing.
Even.
In fact, it was kind of a backhand compliment. It was like, it was saying that her makeup was perfect and she burned lies and used the ash to do the perfect smoky eye. It was like, okay. There were just so many. Someone wanted me to talk about Bill Maher. Joking that President Trump's mother had sex with an orangutan.
Oh, my Lord.
And I'm like, you know, that's different than calling someone an actual orangutan. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about his tanning, not his person, mm-hmm. not his very humanity.
Right.
And then Bill Maher calling himself a house N-word. I'm like, you weren't paying attention because I did say something about that.
Mm-hmm.
And Ice Cube said something too. Man, my response to him, first, let me thank you for taking the time to write. And then I wrote about six paragraphs. Girl, but okay, all of that to say this is that they are not the same.
Mm-hmm.
What Roseanne did and what Samantha Bee did, they are not the same. But free speech has its limitations.
Mm-hmm.
And the limitations aren't in what you can say. The limitations come from the consequences, from what you have said.
Exactly, yes. You can't say racist stuff.
Right, you can't say racist things.
I'm going to have this glorious type of job and get my paycheck from a black woman runs ABC Network.
The queen was like, no, I'm laying down the law. Channing Dungey, I mean, she could make that decision alone. But the fact that she is the first black woman to head this major network and your star of your top rated show just basically called you out your name, she got to go. She, as I wrote in my column, you gonna learn today.
Yeah.
Oh, so much. Yes. But, okay, speaking of people who ought to know better, you just finished writing this story about a place here in Dallas that's celebrating Selena Day, right?
Yeah, the Rustic, well-known
bar. They block streets all the time. Every time they have a party, I had to find another way to go. I just want some buffalo shrimp and y'all in my way. But they're celebrating Selena, but the performer they got is...
So the performer they booked is a white woman who has performed Spanish songs before. She has descendants of Mexican heritage. I think it goes back to like her great grandmother or something like that. But you know, I knew this event was coming, and over the weekend, it seems like it really. The backlash took off, and it was after the singer posted a video talking about the event that was coming on.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, I know I'm a white girl, but I'm nervous, excited to perform, you know, Selena Day at the Rustic. And that's when stuff, you know, the backlash started to flood in. You know what I mean?
I think,
and another part is that then she was saying that, wait, but I'm like a 16th or an 8th, I forgot what she said, Mexican. And so, it just got really messy. It got a little all over the place. It took us down a route.
It sounds messy when you've got to dig that deep to try to justify.
Well, and that is something when I talked to her and she said, I wish I wouldn't have tried to justify, but I felt I was put in no other place but to show, you know, my critics that I do appreciate the culture. So that's where, you know, I got to be objective about this. I get her side, I get the, you know, the the critic side,
and let people form their opinion from you doing the fair reporting.
Right.
That's how we work.
Right. You know, and so I mean I do think that the discussions became very hostile towards her. You know, it could have very well have just been a question like, hey, like, would you consider, you know, including a Latina musician? You know, I am Mexican American or Latina or whatever. It would mean so much to me to see a Selena Day that highlighted maybe a Latino talent that I've never seen. Healthy discussion. Doesn't have to be, you know, calling her a colonizer or anything. You know, it is complicated. It's a delicate topic. And in talking to Eva, who runs The Colores, it's a collective here in Dallas that it's a platform, you know, highlighting underrepresented voices in the city. She just strongly feels like if you do a Selena Day, that is a day that has to be tied strongly to the legacy of being, you know, Mexican American, Latino, Tejano, and the selections that were made of the talent, just, you know, it doesn't resemble who Selena was. And, you know, that was her point. You know, I see where she is coming from. But I don't see Susanna as like this random white woman that was just selected out of nowhere.
It feels like she's caught in the crossfire because
she is. Yeah.
When I think about how the Rustic even announced that they were doing this, it was like, well, since everyone else is doing it, you know what I mean? The way they did that, it was kind of like, it's almost like, I won't say poking fun, but it's almost, they're on a bandwagon. That's a good way of saying it.
A lot of people do feel like the Rustic's on a bandwagon. And I talked to organizers at the Rustic who did not, you know, they declined to comment on the controversy. They did not want to, you know, touch it. Mm-hmm. And I see why, because then, you know, no matter what they say, really, like,
They can't win here.
Exactly. They are not going to win, you know.
But it feels like they left their performer to dangle on her own.
Yeah. And I think they said that this was a new series, a summer series that they were going to start highlighting music legends. And, you know, just side note, they do have a Latino artist performing the David Bowie tribute. Okay. So, again, it's like, it's not to say that the Rustic is not highlighting any Latino talent is an unfair accusation to make of the bar.
Right.
Whether you like it or not, you know, that's up to you to decide. But they are up, you know, it's not like, oh, the Rustic doesn't have any like Latino talent coming in. Right. That is not the case.
The thing is that Selena is so tied to her heritage.
Exactly.
If she were a singer of Latin descent that was not as tied, I could, it wouldn't bother people as much. But I think that she was just, she's the pride of a certain segment of society.
Yeah. And you and I were talking about this earlier. I just think right now is such a, the rhetoric around Latinos, what's going on. You know, the people who had these hurt feelings. I don't know what they're going through. I don't know if.
And to them, it just feels like something else being taken away from them.
Exactly. At the end of the day, that's how it feels. And, you know, I had people tweeting at me like, well, you know, no one gets upset when a non-white Elvis tribute singers performing, and it's like, well, Elvis didn't really have, you know, it wasn't tied to his cultural heritage, or, you know what I mean? But
and,
I see what they're
trying
to say. And
don't get me started about how much music he took.
Oh, that is.
Oh. You gotta get some get back. I'm just saying.
Yes.
You know, I like Elvis like a lot of people, but.
Oh, no, but he absolutely.
Yeah. And he admitted as much. It's not like this is fact we're talking.
It is. It is.
So, like, appropriation can go back so far, but there's a line, there's appreciation, which I think perhaps this young lady who's performing has because it is in her heritage.
Right.
You know, she just, in some people's eyes, she's not representative of what they would want it to be.
Yeah.
Which in itself is another form of discrimination.
It is. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So that was an interesting thing that, you know, a professor who we interviewed brought up. It's like, okay, people came after her and they're assuming they're assuming race and ethnicity are different things. Yes. You know, there are white Latinos. And honestly, I thought that Susanna was perhaps a white passing Latino. So I didn't even think about that when the lineup was announced at all. And, you know, Susanna, she could have been a Susanna, but she's a Susanna, you know.
Right, right.
But I thought that professor had a very interesting point, is that, you know, we can't just judge someone based on the fact that they have blue eyes and blonde hair, that, oh, they're, you know.
Because you can't
They don't know anything about being Latino. Right. It's like, I know.
It's kind of like when I, especially when I lived in Miami, one of the things I liked about living there was that you never really knew where someone was actually from.
You don't. Same thing in New York City.
You didn't know. And so there was almost a freedom that came with that. You had to be more courteous talking about things like that, because you didn't know where the person next to you was from. Mm-hmm. They could have been browner than you were, you know, and not ascribe to the ideologies that you had, because Black American is different from Black Cuban.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's just there's a different way of looking at things.
Yeah. But, you know, to everyone listening, I mean, take a read at the story. We just published it yesterday. Yeah. And, you know, it's taking off today. I don't know if why exactly, but it's starting to, people are tweeting at me. And for the most part, it has been healthy debate.
Yeah.
Like real questions.
I mean, and we like healthy debate, contrary to what people believe. We don't want to be in a silo. We want you to actually write and ask us legitimate questions so we can have a conversation.
Yes, just like Susanna. I mean, kudos to her for taking on the interview with me.
Yeah, because she didn't have to do that.
Exactly. She did not have to, but she was like, you know, I felt very hurt being called a culture vulture and that I was appropriating, because I feel appreciation for who Selena is and was, and for Mexican culture.
I mean, she's no Rachel Dolezal.
Yeah, exactly. Come on now. Like, so, you know, I at the very least, it's like she put herself out there.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, she got a lot of backlash, which, you know, to call her hateful things, what does that do at the end of the day?
And well, one of the things that it can do, and I've been saying this for years, one of the things that it can do when someone who is trying to reach across the aisle gets that type of response back, you're pushing back relations with that one person back years.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be shy, and they're going to be shy about doing it again.
Exactly. Right.
And that's not what you want. I mean, more talking, more conversation is the answer, not less.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, but the event's on Thursday, so upcoming this week.
So we'll know, huh?
Yeah, we will. But, and I feel that this will not be the last time we have this debate of appropriation
versus won't
appreciation.
Be. I mean, it really won't be. Like, Pharrell just had that appropriation thing with his clothing line, and I think Gwen Stefani went through it when she had her Harajuku girls.
Yes.
And they all, they see things they like, and it's shiny and happy and new, and they go, okay, I want to use that in my next video. And then it's like, no, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Because appreciation and appropriation are different things. Very if you different. Don't know the history behind it, just don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Word from me.
Mm-hmm.
Just learn your history and learn why.
Exactly. And another thing is, if you get people who have feelings, be willing to listen.
Yeah, be willing to have a dialogue with them. Be willing to listen and also talk. Don't just sit there and be making your grocery list in your head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, actively listen so that you can actively learn, and maybe they can learn something from you too.
Because
a lot of times, especially within our own communities, we get blinders on because we feel like we're under attack. So we react defensively as a measure to protect ourselves and protect our people. And so sometimes we can miss the broader look at things. And I just want y'all to be happy.
Right. Exactly. But like, we, you know, there will be plenty of talks coming forward on race and identity. Yep. And, you know, again, we all want to open it up to people who are listening in on us.
Yeah. And join us. Questions of Color.
Yes.
On Facebook, please. And follow Cassandra on Twitter. Mm-hmm. What's your handle?
At Cassandra Jar.
That's it. Yeah. At Cassandra Jar. And follow me is at Dawn Burks. And, you know, From the Hip, the party edition is ready to close.
Yes.
But the party's not over. Love it. Till next time.
Yes.
This is From the Hip with Dawn Burks. And adios.
Adios, amigos.
And that's not appropriation. Bye.